Peter is most well known for his book that he wrote many, many years ago, The Global Brain, which was really amazing and opened my world at the time. And Sean, I am not as familiar with, but I've heard excellent things about you, in particular a paper that she wrote about mindfulness and its relationship to psychology. And anyway, some wonderful people we have with us today. And so I really invite all of us to settle in to our seats and into our hearts and really open to take in what it is that they're offering us today. So welcome, Peter and Shauna.
I'm going to test. Is this working okay? Oh, good. I can't quite figure this part out.
Well, you have to stick it on your skin. That's okay.
I can hold it, actually. That's fine. I've done that before. Is this better? Good morning. Okay, I'll hold it. No problem.
So, we don't quite know what's going to happen in this session. This was an idea we had a while back of doing something together. And I've always felt Sean and I had a very similar approach to meditation, and it was sitting here in Sean's session last year, listening to the way she guided meditation. I felt, here's someone who feels about it the same way as I do. And it's like, and we started saying, well, let's do something together. And we played with ideas of doing something together, and this is what came out of it here, us doing something together. And we will talk for a bit, both of us give our perspectives on meditation, vipassana, mindfulness, and the non-dual approach to it, what we consider the non-dual approach. And then we're going to do something which may have never been tried on this planet before, but may have been, we don't know about it. We are going to together lead a meditation, and we don't know what's going to happen. It's totally unplanned, and we just thought, let's do this and see what happens. So it would be between us following the impulse and guiding a meditation, and it may be the most enlightened moment you've had, or it may be a total and utter failure.
And we feel okay about either.
Yep. Nothing ventured, nothing gained, and we're here to have fun. So why don't you start with how you see mindfulness?
Yeah, so first I just want to say hello and welcome, and I'm really honored and delighted to be here with Peter. And it really came, I think this time together came out of our personal inquiry into our own practice. And for me, my background has been for the past 15 years in Vipassana, more in the Theravadin tradition. And it's really supported me, and it's still a foundational part of my practice. But over the past 5 or 6 years or so, as I've also started to explore the non-dual traditions, what started arising for me was noticing how in my practice I was using certain of my techniques to try to make things be a certain way, to try to get to certain states of consciousness, and that there was a subtle sense of striving kind of underneath a lot of my practice. Trying to make things be a certain way, so even be a certain way so I could be peaceful, or a certain way so I could be more generous or more compassionate. And there was always this sense that it's not quite right, or I'm not quite right, or there's some better place to be. And there was something extraordinarily liberating in just letting all that go. And bringing a certain acceptance, allowing kindness, curiosity to my experience, and a spaciousness. And so when we were talking about this non-dual vipassana, it still feels like I have the scaffolding of my mindfulness practice. and yet there's so much more freedom in it. And so that's, I think, what we're going to explore a little bit today.
And I love the word curiosity. I think the nice thing about curiosity is it's just open to seeing what is. It's not about trying to get anywhere or make anything happen. And I would say the non-dual aspect for me is the idea that, well, not the idea, but just realizing there is nowhere we're trying to get to. There's nothing we're actually trying to do, nowhere we're trying to get to, but more, for me, it's about just letting the mind relax and just relax back into being in the moment. And my own background, when I first got involved in meditation, I was very involved in TM, Transcendental Meditation. And what attracted me to it in the first place, I was reading one of the Maharishi's early books, and he said something about effortlessness and why meditation had to be absolutely effortless. He was saying any attempt to try any effort at all starts confining the mind, tightening it, and we want to do the opposite. And that just struck me as so obviously right. And yet everything I'd been trying in the way of meditation was concentrating. If you really discipline the mind and practice years of discipline, you can really hold off all thoughts and you will finally, with great effort, reach samadhi. And it's like, and he was just turning the whole thing inside out and saying, no, just let go, relax. And so I was involved with TM for many years. And then about 10 years ago, started visiting Spirit Rock just because I wanted a place to just go and retreat. I had no particular interest in Vipassana. I was interested in Buddhism, but just here was a place locally where I could go on retreat and just meditate, and there's no mind police there. You can do what you want. And instantly I just saw this marriage between, I came up instantly in my very first retreat, but I think it was the first day, Transcendental Vipassana. Which was taking that complete effortlessness of TM and then applying it to mindfulness. And what I noticed is sometimes I sit with various mindfulness teachers, sometimes I think this is what Sean is pointing to, that that's very slight intention to arrive at a particular state to get somewhere. And I just thought, no, hang on, why don't we just let go of any striving and just totally accepting what is in the moment. And over the years I've been just noticing, watching my own mind and just noticing where that little bit of striving, wanting comes in, that bit that says, oh, this isn't quite it, this meditation isn't quite good enough, and just realizing that's all just part of what is. So when the striving comes in, for me it's accepting the striving as well. Striving comes in, thoughts come in, the wanting comes in, but that's part of what is. It's nothing wrong with that.
And I think that's a big piece of it, is when the striving comes in, to allow and accept the striving. Mm-hmm. So a lot of my students, when I'm teaching, I talk about mindfulness as having these three elements of intention, attention, just paying attention, and then your attitude, this non-striving, curious, kind, compassionate attitude. And someone will raise their hand and say, well, I don't feel compassionate or kind right now. And it's such an important clarification that I'm not inviting them to have to feel the kindness or the compassion, but to have some spaciousness around whatever they are feeling. So there's this container of welcoming and inviting all of it, even when they notice the striving occurring. It doesn't mean you immediately have to let go of your striving and, you know, assume the effortless, relaxed state. It's that there's some, that the awareness that's always already here is already effortless and relaxed, and that they can rest back into that, and that can hold whatever their experience is, even if the experience is striving.
Yeah. Yeah, the way I put that time is it's not resisting the resistance, mm-hmm. of actually accepting that and noticing it. It's like, oh, I'm in resistance. What's it feel like? Or another way I put it is accept the non-acceptance. If I'm not accepting the moment, accept that you're not accepting the moment. It's like stepping back and bringing a level of just almost observation. Here I am, I'm trying, I'm resisting, I'm feeling something should be different. And just letting that be. And in letting that be, it tends to dissolve if you resist it. That old Werner Erhard line, what you resist persists.
Although sometimes what starts to happen is the mind gets tricky and it says, okay, if I just start letting go and letting this be, but secretly you're hoping that it's going to, you know, immediately
move
and dissolve the thing that you're not wanting to be there. And so what will come up is, okay, I'm relaxing into the pain, or I'm relaxing and letting this judgment be here, and oh crap, it's not going away, right? But I did my trick of totally accepting and allowing. And so you have to go to even a deeper level of really allowing even for it not to dissolve when you accept it.
Yeah. Is there anything else we should say? I think just to say one thing I always say to beginners, because there may be beginners in the group here, is not to get concerned about thoughts. There's an idea around in the sort of general public that meditation is about not thinking, it's about quietening the mind. And so you shouldn't be having thoughts. If you're having thoughts, they're getting in the way of meditation. Thoughts are going to happen to all of us. I think the most advanced meditators have thoughts coming in. It's not about not having thoughts. It's about, as Shauna says, it's attitude. What is your attitude to the thought? Thoughts are going to bubble up. And what the nature of thoughts are, they take us out of the moment. We start imagining something, planning something, wanting something, or start thinking about the meditation, whatever it is. The basic instruction is whenever you notice yourself thinking, whatever it might be, any thought whatsoever, any thought, just to let it be, not to feel you've gone wrong, to judge it and say, I'm a bad boy or girl or whatever. But just gently, and we'll be doing this, just gently coming back to the experience in the moment. Just gently coming back to the experience. And the mind will wander off again. And just gently bring it back. One analogy I've heard I really like, it's like teaching a puppy to sit. You know, if you're teaching a puppy to sit, you press its backside down and you say, sit. But you don't hold it there to make it sit. Like, this is what sitting is, you sit, and you let go. And being a puppy, it's off running around again. You say, come back. This is sitting, and you just press it down gently and then let it go. And I think it's the same with the mind. Okay, come back to here. Just sit. Just let the attention rest in the moment. And it wanders off again. Just let the attention rest.
And I love the puppy analogy. And I think what's so important is when the puppy wanders off, when your mind wanders off, because it will, is to notice how you bring it back. Because we're training the mind in some way. And so, and this is where it's not an effortful striving and kind of whacking the puppy and saying, back, sit. There is some discipline, there is some awareness that the mind has wandered, and in that moment of awareness, you're already back in the present moment. The awareness is here. So you don't have to do anything. There doesn't have to be any judgment. I noticed in myself when I would be practicing and I would notice my mind wander from the breath, which was my object of attention, there would be this, you know, damn it, Shauna, why can't you just pay attention? This isn't that hard. Why can't you? And there was kind of a whacking the puppy back. And so I think our invitation is really to notice where the mind goes, again, with this light curiosity and this kindness, as opposed to forcing it to be a certain way. And I think that's true with everything, not just thoughts. When we hear sounds, when we feel sensations in the body, when any kind of energy arises, to simply be with that experience, feel our awareness holding it. It's not so much, sometimes it's, people will say it's witnessing it, or we get a distance from our thoughts or a distance from the experience. But in my experience, there is the witnessing in the sense that I'm not caught by it, but it's so intimate that I'm right there in my experience, and that's where the non-duality arises. That sometimes in the Vipassana practice there can be a real sense of duality of here's the witness over here and here's the experience over here. And for me, what's really softened is just being in the experience but not being identified or caught in it.
Yeah.
Sure. John.
I'll try to speak up a bit here. Maybe especially since you're playing with...
Okay. Since you're playing with this whole concept, if you will, of a non-dual, I guess, version of Vipassana or perspective on it, I wonder if you could comment a little bit about what certainly seems like a contradiction, and I know in my own teaching, people often experience it as this, which is it does sound like you're speaking about a kind of manipulation of the mind. This kind of training of the puppy, bringing it back. And which is fine, but it does still sound like control, even if it's subtle, of experience. And I wonder if you could play a little bit with that as it relates to your own, I guess, evolving understanding of meditation.
Do you want to go first? Yeah.
Okay. I think it's a wonderful question, and there is that paradox that comes up of, in some ways, completely letting go of control, and in some ways, there is a certain subtle intention we have to be aware, right? To not just completely space out. And yet, for me, the intention is the awareness as opposed to forcing the puppy to come back to right here. So it's more of awareness, watching where the mind is going as opposed to stopping my thoughts or forcing my thoughts to immediately evaporate the moment I'm aware of them. There's more gentleness in just being with the awareness.
So is awareness separate from the moving mind?
I would say no. Awareness isn't separate from the moving mind, and I'm not trying to control the awareness, but I'm trying to stay with the moving mind instead of being on automatic pilot and then being separate, I think.
Yeah. Yeah.
Phew, I answered that one okay.
Save me. Okay.
Maybe we should sit.
I think we should
bit.
Do it.
We can take lots of questions afterwards.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks.
And so we're going to invite, as we begin this practice, to have the doors remain closed. So anyone that wants to escape right now, you may. And for those of us sitting here, just take a moment to arrive into your body. Allowing your eyes to close if that feels comfortable. And for me, I'm always amazed at how good it feels to come home into my body and to actually take a moment to just feel it. Feel my feet on the floor. Feeling both legs, your seat in the chair. Feeling the spine upright, supporting you. Shoulders, arms. Noticing where your hands are resting. Aware of your belly, chest, face, and just getting a sense of your whole body sitting. Opening to whatever's here, whatever sound, whatever feelings or thoughts or sensations. And see if we can allow all of it to be here, allowing the sound, allowing our response to the sound, allowing whatever's here.
We're just noticing what's already there. Just noticing sensations, experiences which are already there, but we don't normally notice. And one sensation that's always there in some way or other is just the gentle sensation of breathing. There all the time, but we seldom notice it. And breathing is something which it's easy to come back to. When we wander off, find ourselves thinking, we can just come back to the present, come back to the experience of sitting here, sensations in the body, just gently breathing. Not trying to hold the attention here, but just bringing it back and just allowing ourselves to rest in the moment as it is. And simply noticing the quality of your attention and awareness. And I invite you to relax maybe 5 degrees more. Inviting in the qualities of curiosity, acceptance, and kindness as we open to whatever's here, because it's already here. Feeling the aliveness in our body. Being
with our experience just as it is right now, and trusting that this is perfect.
And whatever your experience in this moment, is there an easier way of being with it? More relaxed, more just being with it in a completely open way, not expecting anything. Just allowing yourself just to relax fully into the experience, just as it is. Just accepting this moment, this experience. Without trying to be, or even wanting to be anywhere else but here.
And perhaps noticing how it might feel right now to trust that you're going at just the right pace, that whatever's here is unfolding in just the right way in this moment. that you don't have to do anything. This is it. This breath, this sensation. Allowing ourselves to simply rest with whatever's here.
So we'll just continue like this for some minutes without any further instruction, just letting you just rest gently in the moment, however it is. Not trying to be anywhere else or have anything happen or not happen. Just a gentle openness to each moment as it comes and as it goes. And now gently just allow your attention to include being here in this room together, as we very gently move back into a more outward, interactive mode of being.
You can notice some light coming back in through the eyes. Notice that even as our awareness is expanded to include sight around us and people around us, that we're still breathing and sitting, and that there can be a seamless continuity to this awareness. Feel free to move your body in any way that feels good, stretching and noticing how it feels to move. There's no perfect right way. We don't have to be perfectly still or move perfectly. Just bringing the same freedom, the same spaciousness into this moment right here. As we again engage in conversation about what we're noticing.
I think just come back with only got 10 minutes. Yeah. Yep.
Thanks, Shauna. Thanks, Peter. I'm really glad that you're bringing up this this topic, and in fact, it's something that we're going to explore in the next panel following this, which is the role of meditation. And here's my question, and my experience parallels yours, Shauna. So I was involved in the Buddhist community for many, many years, 15 years, and I noticed when I first encountered more non-dual teachings that I benefited. I hadn't really noticed the this very subtle and transparent agenda to fix and change or manipulate my experience, and just benefited immensely from that. And what I've noticed. So I'm still involved in the Buddhist community, and I'm still involved in the non-dual community as an organizer. And here's what I've noticed. It seems that that this kind of softening and this openness and receptivity towards experience is something which is kind of informing practice these days, particularly within the Buddhist community. And it's really beautiful to see that. It's kind of, right, I think we all kind of sense that. But this is my question. What I notice in the, and I've benefited from that, but I also benefit from the discipline of meditation practice. And what I've noticed is that within the non-dual community, there tends to be kind of this eschewal or rejection of meditation as an actual practice. And so, for example, even if the practice is one of noticing the attempt to manipulate experience and to bring awareness to that, there's this kind of out-of-hand rejection of meditation, since it's, of course, an attempt to manipulate experience, right? So I don't know if you could say something about that. So this is a question for the non-dual community and the role of meditation within the non-dual community, because we don't see that very much. And so
you go first.
It's such an important question, and I think it's kind of very alive for a lot of people. You know, for me, I'm a professor of psychology and study neuroscience, and with the field of neuroplasticity, it's challenging for me to say, don't practice, because what we know is what we practice strengthens these certain pathways and changes the entire structure and activity of our brain. And so for me to say, don't practice and just let the brain go out and mind go out and do its thing, in some ways there's a part of me that knows that discipline does create certain structures or scaffoldings that are really important and healthy. And so I think that's true. On the other side, if I'm practicing in a way where I'm striving and I'm forcing and I'm judging, then that's what I'm strengthening and practicing. And so I guess for me what I've really taken from the non-dual teachings and from the softening and opening is a way to inform my practice, but it hasn't eliminated my practice. I still really believe that you may call it a manipulation of experience, but for me it's not a manipulation of experience, it's a direction, it's an intention. It's kind of setting the compass of my heart and my mind in a particular way.
Yeah, I feel very similarly. I think when teachers, you know, say don't meditate, I think the way I understand what they're saying is, you know, don't get involved in all these complex techniques and practices, etc. And there's one teacher I know who says all teachers are valuable, all techniques are valuable because they all lead you to the point of realizing you don't need a technique. And it's, you know, it's simply about the letting go, as we've been instructed. But there's a skill in that. There's a real skill in learning how to just relax and let go and be present. And for me, that takes practice. And so, I have a practice. I will sit and meditate. It's not as regular as it used to be, but I really value those times of just sitting quietly. And that's when I'm practicing the releasing, the letting go. And the practice is also in life. It's like less and less is there a distinction for me, like here's meditation and here's life. It's like there's concentrated practice, not concentrating, but there's practice where I'm just sitting and just observing and just practicing that skill. And then there's out in life, there's many, many times when I'm like, oh my God, I'm off over here on this, and just like, come back. So the practice moves into life.
And I want to add to what Peter's saying, because for me, I actually believe that there are complex practices that are still really beneficial. And so it's not so much that I'm letting go of all technique, it's that the way I'm approaching any of these practices has completely shifted. And so even if I'm doing a really deep, complex, concentrated practice, it's not so much to manipulate my experience or try to get somewhere. There's a whole different intention and context that I'm holding the practice. And so that everything I'm doing, and just like Peter said, I think so beautifully, is that the distinction between practice and life has become much, much less. But it doesn't mean that I've given up practice. It's just I've shifted perspective in how I hold practice.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I couldn't agree more, Shauna, that it's the intention and attitude is really what's crucial and key. So my question for you, Peter, as someone who is involved in the non-dual community, then would you say then that we, as sort of a non-dual community, would benefit more from the introduction and adoption of, I hate to make it sound so, you know, agenda-driven, but from...
I don't know.
Fair enough.
It's, you know, there's, I think it's up to each of us to find what works for ourselves.
Right.
And I'm not going to say what other people should say.
Yeah, no. Thank you.
But we've got about another, only just a couple more minutes before we officially end. So any other quick questions or quick answers? Or your experience in that? Yes, over here.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Coming from a mindfulness background and being fairly new to this non-dual community, can you speak to that? Having a mindfulness practice and moving, being introduced to the non-dual, and relate to that.
Sure, it was really exciting and a big relief for me. It's been nothing but an expansion and an increase of freedom. And I think I was naturally bringing a lot of this into my practice, trying to find ways to soften or bring more compassion into the practice. And I would say all of my Vipassana teachers have taught from a non-dual perspective. And Jack Kornfield and John Kabat-Zinn, Shinzen Young, they all would agree with everything that's being taught and said here. So it's not in any way that I said, oh, this Vipassana stuff is not working and I'm going to non-dual. It was more really just feeling my way into how integrated and possible it was for them to be practiced in kind of the same way. And it's more of it's the subtle but really significant shift of my letting go of my striving and trying to do it right. And I think part of that doesn't have so much to do with Vipassana as it has to do with perhaps the culture that I was raised in of, you know, this just became one more way for me to try to be perfect and one more way for me to beat myself up. And so creating some space around there's nowhere to go and nothing to do and it's already perfect. I don't know if that's me, but that's how it's been helpful.
And again, so I say something similar for me, I think. I've drifted towards a non-dual perspective. You know, I came across it years ago when I started reading all this spiritual stuff, and like the Advaita stuff is like, I got it intellectually, but like, you know, but just gradually, it's just like, it just made more and more sense. So it's almost like my own experience has just led me in that direction. It's not I've suddenly adopted a non-dual perspective, and I'm still pretty dualistic in many ways, but it's just like, it's just a pull in that direction, and it's affected my practice, my understanding. We should probably finish, so I know we need to stick to timing, and because it's not one of these events where we can go on for an extra hour, things need to move on. So thank you all, and thank you, Shauna.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Both of you, I so enjoyed that meditation, and you're bringing together meditation with the non-dual sort of spirit of that. So thank you so much. And I wanted to let you all know, Peter is going to be doing another talk this afternoon at 2:40 in the Court of Madera room. And Sean, I don't know if you're doing a talk later.
It's in San Francisco, if you want to come.
In San Francisco.
For educators, it's not
okay,
part of it.
Okay, all right. And also, so Peter's latest book is From Science to God, and I recommend you check that out. And
it's called The Art and Science of Mindfulness.
The Art and Science of Mindfulness is your book. Oh, great. So there's more of them, and I'm sure that they would love to meet you if you want to say hello during the breaks. And thank you again so much.